Blue 88 Oldsmobile, the lights are on in the parking lot. Blue 88 Oldsmobile, lights on. And there's no one in the nursery today. Sorry about that. There is? Debbie's. There is someone in the nursery. We got an adult, Debbie. Debbie is in the nursery work. Nursery. One of our members is in there, so you can feel safe to put your child. She's got two children of her own, so. Good morning. I'll be with you in a minute. It's one of those mornings. Okay, a few announcements. First, if you'll take your red pad, you'll sign it. Name, address, telephone number. If you've changed addresses, if we've got your name listed wrong in the red book, if you've noticed it, I just sent someone a card and it's the wrong address. It came back. I don't know how that happened, but it does sometimes. Your email address, we can have that when we send out information, prayer, and different things that happen during the week. We would appreciate that if you'd like to give it to us. And remind you, this is communion, and everyone is welcome to take communion in the Presbyterian Church here at Glenshaw Valley. All that we ask is that you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And as far as the young people, we leave that up to the parents to decide on that. Session is meeting Monday, that's tomorrow night, at 7 o'clock. And there's still some window clings that you can have. They're in the back of the table. It helps advertise a church, a beautiful picture of the church. And it says the sun, S-O-N, shines on the valley. You can take more than one if you like. And also, our website is listed. If you're not in church on a Sunday or if you'd like to rehear a sermon, you can go on the website and listen to that sermon. And the power screen that you're watching is from the Deacon's Pig Roast from last week, and the auction baskets that were auctioned off, and we just had a wonderful time, and we thank the deacons for a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. It was good food, good fellowship, and just really had a wonderful time. So if you missed it, you missed a great day, and they do it every year, so you can put it on your calendar for next year. I was handed this by Adele Miller. She's her second Sunday in a row visiting with us. It's a young boy named Connor. I'm not sure if I'm saying his name correct. Michalek. And he's having at Bowerstown Fire Hall between 2 and 6. He has cancer, and it's not a good prognosis for him. It says incurable. They're praying for a miracle, but they're trying to raise some money for the family. It's a cute little boy in a Spider-Man costume, and it's a $15 donation. You get rigatoni, meatballs, salad rolls, and vegetables. And that is between 2 and 6 today at Bowertown Fire Hall in Shaler. And it's a 50-50 raffle, bake sale, and a Chinese auction. So if you can help that family out, I know they would appreciate it. Any other announcements need to be made that I may have not made or forgot?
Real quick, I just want to thank the congregation for all of their help and support in the Deacon's Pig Roast community. And thank you for all that you've donated and just everybody's help who contributed. And also, Jonathan, if you want to have 5 cookies, he's selling Cheryl's and popcorn. There's a thing in the back that you can have.
Thank you. Any other announcements? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Something a little bit different this morning. We've never opened up or had two screen songs, but we have two this morning. And I'm going to take these off and get right to the song. Give me just a second here. All right. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear God, we thank you for choosing those of us who feel rejected by society. We praise you for making us a part of your church and the kingdom of God. Forgive us when we choose to reject others. Remind us that Jesus was put on the outside by the mainstream religious leaders. Help us to believe that Jesus was the ultimate victor in life. Show us that Jesus' teachings can give us a victorious life. May we hold on to the amazing grace that you have offered us in this life and the life to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together here at Glenshell Valley with a sense of unity and with other churches around our community and even the world as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, everlasting.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. I know there's persons here, you don't know their name, so get out of your seats, find out their name. A contemporary affirmation of faith is not on 642, it's 718. 642 is last week, so 718. And thanks, Cliff, for catching that. And also, what I was reading on about the little boy, he put the flyer and the back on the bulletin board. If anyone wants to see that, you can write down the information. So a contemporary affirmation of faith, 718. We read this normally when we're doing and having communion, the Lord's Supper. We believe in Jesus Christ, the Lord, who was promised to the people of Israel, who came in the flesh to dwell among us, who announced the coming of the rule of God, who gathered disciples and taught them, who died on the cross to free us from sin, who rose from the dead to give us life and hope, who reigns in heaven at the right hand of God, who comes to judge and bring justice to victory. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is a form of God present in the church, who moves men and women to faith and obedience, who is a guarantee of our deliverance, who leads us to find God's will in the Word, who assists those whom He renews in prayer, who guides us in discernment, who impels us to act together.
We believe God.
I'd like to open up this portion of the service for a pastoral prayer and invite you to submit any prayer requests. And you can look at the back of your bulletin and, of course, your valley where it should have more names listed. And Paul Kosherhook has been listed in St. Margaret's from the heart attack and then the fall he had and broke his ankle. And he's now at home recuperating. And he'll be in the cast for about 6 weeks, and he's on medication to regulate his heart, which is working well for him. So we're thankful of that. Janet Hall, I talked to on the phone, says she had planned to come to church this Sunday, had been out for a good little while. But unfortunately, she's in the hospital at Passavant, went in Thursday. She's got too much iron and protein in her blood, and they're doing a bone marrow test Monday. So let's be in prayer for Janet Hall, and also for the little boy that we mentioned earlier, and for all the other persons listed. Millie Mack, I spoke with her, and she hurt her hip and leg, and when she fell off the stool, and she kind of bounced back into, I believe, the refrigerator. She didn't fall all the way down, but she's kind of bruised up and at home recovering. Any other persons? Kathy? The Kerr family, where the little six-year-old boy passed away, and the mother's going in for a cancerous brain tumor surgery in about a week and a half. Anyone else?
Two things might be her, so.
Good. That's what we want. Her boss has cancer and getting into a new study. Lesions have not grown anymore, and a guest she brought with her said she loved our church, wished she lived closer, and would be attending here. That's what we always like to hear. Meryl? Okay, good. For her husband, Bob, and then for herself, her last treatment is this Wednesday. She can stay healthy to take that treatment. God bless you. Okay. For Jay's brother, who had his bladder removed and can heal, and a friend who had a ruptured intestine and part of it removed, remember him in prayer. Anyone else? Meryl? A friend of the family named Don with lung cancer. Let's remember him. Let's remember all the persons in our church. Okay, they're traveling next weekend. Safety, safe travel.
My boss's son should be in Afghanistan, so
okay. Boss's son in Afghanistan, Brandon. And let's pray for all our troops overseas. All our troops everywhere, but especially overseas in conflict. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord. We'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer. Remind you, in Presbyterian tradition, we say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. And help us to rejoice in it. At times we have much to celebrate. At times we are sad because things are not going good either in our life or someone close to us, or maybe about someone we've read about in the paper or we've seen on the television. And our heart goes out to each and every instant, each and every person. We thank you for your love, your commitment to your people. We thank you for giving us an opportunity for salvation, to draw closer to you, for you to be the cornerstone of our life, that we can build that firm foundation, that we know that you are Lord and Savior of our lives, that we have that promise of eternal life, that we can be with you when this life is over forever. With no pain, no hurt. We also want to know that you are with us on this side of the curtain, that we can live a victorious Christian life regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in, that you are there with us every step of the way, never leaving us, never forsaking us, guiding us, attempting to show us the path, attempting to comfort us through the power of your Holy Spirit and through other people in many different ways. And we thank you for that. Help us to draw closer to you through the written word, through continuing in fellowship and worship, and our friends, and Bible studies. So many ways, in prayer at home. Lord, thank you. For everyone we've mentioned, everyone is listed in our bulletin, our valley. Those who are thinking about now, I just remembered I wanted to mention Paul McComb, one of our new members. His mother in Georgia with an aneurysm. He's there with her. We pray for that family. We pray for all families. We pray for our church. Be with us in all that we do. Touch us in a new and unique way, and let us feel your love, especially as we take communion today. And let us move further and further away from the sin that holds us back from a closer relationship with you. And thank you for showing us the way when you walked upon this earth. And thank you for giving us this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now this morning, our next hymn is Firm Foundation. This is a screen song, and this is a brand new song. How it'll go is we sing the refrain. I'll show it to you on the screen real quick. We'll sing that together. Then the choir will sing a verse. Then I've got it listed people. I thought it'd be easier than listing congregation. You can see it. We'll sing. And then we'll go back to the refrain. And it goes through like that. So you'll be able to follow it. Is that right?
We're going to sing it through once.
They're going to sing it through once just so we'll know how it sounds.
On the verse, we sing further than this.
Right. Keep me straight. Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've chosen us to be your children, and we are grateful for that. We thank you for our church and our location, that we have an opportunity to reach out to others, that they can find Jesus Christ, and you can be the Lord and Savior, and they can find a peace that passes all understanding. We thank you for our ministry here. We thank you for all the people, for their gifts and their talents, and that they're willing to use them, for that we can minister to one another, but we can minister outside of these walls. Help us find ministries and ways of reaching out to one another and to others. Thank you for every talent that is given, every talent that is used. Bless us and help us be a blessing to others. In the name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend, we do pray. Amen. Thank you. Bill, Mueller is reading our scripture again today.
Good morning, Church of Elton Wild. 7-2. But how about Shaw Valley Presbyterian Church? I have this problem. I was looking at Dave and Nancy Perrin in the back there, who were friends of mine at Elton Wild, and my mind slipped. It happens when you reach that age. Some of you may know. At any rate, Jesus often used references to the Old Testament in his parables. In this particular case, he uses both a direct and indirect one. This gives him gives the people a reference to what he's talking about, as well as some authority to what his teachings are. In this particular case, his indirect reference is to Isaiah 5, and specifically in Isaiah, it's verse 7 of Isaiah 5, which says, "The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in." This helped the people realize what he was talking about and the references that he made in his parable. With this in mind, listen to Matthew 21, verses 33 through 46, the parable of the tenants. Listen now to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized the servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Therefore, when the landowner of this vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," the people replied. "And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said this to them, "Have you never heard in the scriptures?" And this is where Jesus directly references Psalm 118, 22 through 24. "The stone the builders reject has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to the people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to bits. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priest and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
It's going to be one of those days for me. I'm having a little health problem, but I want you to know I don't have anything that you can get. I'm just having a bad allergy attack, so I'm a little off kilter this morning. So bear with me, if you will. I thought I had everything together this morning. The score was tied 14-14 with only seconds to play in the game. Michigan State's coach sent in place kicker Dave Kaiser, who booted a field goal that won the game. When Kaiser returned to the bench, Coach Daughtry said, "I noticed that you didn't look at the ball and follow it through the goalposts when you kicked the winning field goal." So that's right, Coach. "I was watching the referee instead to signal to see if I had made the kick or not." He said, why did you do that? He said, well, I forgot my contact lens and they're at home and I couldn't see the goalposts. That's what every team and every coach wants to hear. The field goal kicker can't see the field goal post and doesn't know where to kick it. Keeps the game interesting, doesn't it? You know, football and all sports are a wonderful part of our culture, particularly at this time of year, football. College-age young people can be so creative. Newspaper columnist Neil Seinberg, author of a book about pranks that college students play, teaches about a prank that students at Auburn, which beat my South Carolina Gamecocks yesterday, once played on the Georgia Tech football team. The year was 1896. Not 1996 now, but 1896. The Tech team was due to arrive by train, and prior to their arrival, the Auburn students went down to the train track, got as much grease as they could, and greased the train tracks where the train was supposed to stop and let the team off. Well, when the conductor put on the brakes, it took the train 10 miles to stop. The Georgia Tech team had to get off the train and hike 10 miles back to the stadium. I don't know if there's a stadium at that time, but the field of play, 10 miles before the game. Well, Auburn beat Georgia Tech 42-0. You can imagine how tired that team must have been. Not really a fair thing to do. But football, for many of us, is a wonderful sport. What is interesting about all the sports is there's some people who cheer for the team that we might call the underdog or the team that is supposed to lose. Sometimes I feel like my team, Carolina Gamecocks, which are rated number 10 in the nation until they got beat yesterday by Auburn. I forget the score. I don't really want to remember it because watching them, I think, we have a saying in South Carolina for the Gamecocks that Carolina, no matter what the score, will somehow, before the game is over, they will find a way to lose. And they did yesterday, a team they should have handily beat. Coach Lou Holtz, who used to be the coach for Carolina, a great football coach. Steve Spurrier is now a great football coach, Heisman Trophy winner. But Coach Lou Holtz said, when he was coaching at South Carolina, someone wrote a great football song that could be sung only after winning a game. And he went on to say, by the time we won a game, everybody had forgotten the words to the song. Our text for today suggests that Jesus knew what it was to be on the losing team. He knew what it was to lose, not always to win. The writer Matthew put it this way, quoting two verses from Psalm 118 that I've got on the screen. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus knew what it was to be rejected. I mean, think about it. God comes to earth, and then he's rejected. It says of him, the stone the builders rejected. This is a clear, obvious reference to Christ. Jesus was rejected by his own people. Jesus knew what it was to battle overwhelming odds. He knows what it was to be disrespected, to be in great pain, and ultimately to confront death, death on the cross. And he knows what it is like and feels like to be on the wrong side. Remember that the next time you yourself are in a tight spot. Remember that when you are rejected. Remember that when you lose a big contract, your company, when you get bad news from the doctor, even when you're laying on your own deathbed and that final door on this earth is being ready to be shut closed. Jesus has faced it all just like you have or will. He knows what it is like to be on the losing end. If you look at yourself as a winner and you think you'll always be on the winning side, sooner or later something in this life will happen and you will come up on the short end of the stick. That is just a part of life. I don't care who you are, or how well things are going, how smart you are, how much money you have, how much talent you have. It happens for everybody. And I'm not trying to be negative here. I just think it's better to be prepared and know that things happen in life, and it really happens to everybody. Some people just don't talk about it, or they cover it up, or we look at programs and we see somebody's life and we think everything is perfect for them. Writer Philip Yancey tells really a heartbreaking story about a European immigrant suffering from leukemia, who was telling Yancey some stories about her loneliness. The group asked if she had any family. She had her only son. They were trying to get emergency leave from the Air Force in Germany so he could be with her. And they said, "Your husband?" And she swallowed real hard a few times and said, "Well, he came to see me just once. I was in the hospital. He brought me a bathrobe and brought me a few things." Said the daughter stood in the hallway and told him about my leukemia. Her voice started to crack and she grabbed a Kleenex and started to dab her eyes as the tears started to roll down her face. Said my husband went home that night, packed his bags, and I never saw him again. He said, "How long have you been married?" And she paused and said, 37 years. 37 years of marriage, and her husband walks out on her at the worst moment in her life. Talk about kicking you while you're down. It happens, and life can be cruel, and sometimes those people that we love and sometimes those people that we depend on can be very mean and unloving to us. There are times when all of us are on the bottom of the pile and we don't want to be. And few of us go through our lives unscathed by disappointment and sometimes outright despair. And it might be marital discord. It may be professional failure. It may be physical impairment. It may be spiritual. It may be mental. Of course, all of us die sooner or later. But life can be very, very good for us at times. And then at times, life can be very, very hard and painful for us. But most of us will cope with the deep valleys we encounter, and most of us will get up, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, and we will move on. But some of us will suffer a few body blows along the way. Now, those of you who've heard me preach for a long time know that really my two favorite sports are boxing and football. I watched boxing last night. I like it because it's one-on-one. You can't blame it on the other teammates. Well, we would have won if it hadn't have been for the quarterback or the right guard or the center or whoever. It's just you. Well, he was a boxer back in the 1930s, and his name was Big Boy. So you can imagine he's probably a big guy. But he had a powerful roundhouse swing. A roundhouse swing comes like this. And he was just destined to win this fight, so he thought. And so he went to throw his round, patent and roundhouse swing, and the guy moved in close to him, to his body. He had been out, and he just quickly stepped in, and he was doing it, and the man swung, and it caught him around the body. He had long arms, and he came around, and he caught himself right in the temple, knocked his own self out. The only boxer in recorded history to do that. Unbelievable, but it happened. And thankfully, most of us are not like Big Boy. We win a few in life, we lose a few, we hang in there, and we keep on fighting. We don't knock our own selves out, but sometimes some of us almost do. But Jesus was rejected and understands what it is to lose, but Jesus was also victorious and teaches us that we too can be victorious. Notice these words again. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Those are very important words. Jesus is speaking to a crowd that includes the scribes and the Pharisees. That was very religious establishment that would be responsible for his death upon the cross. To them, writes theologian Hans Kuhn, Jesus was a scandalon, a small stone over which one might stumble. He was attacked on all sides. He had not played the expected role that they wanted him to play. For those who supported the law and order, he turned out to be a provocateur, dangerous to the established system. For the silent majority, he was too noisy. For the noisy minority, he was too quiet, too gentle for the strict, and too strict for the gentle. And so he was rejected by the religious establishment, eventually by the crowds that once hailed him and called his name. For the moment, those who persecuted him looked like the winners. They had their way with Jesus. They scourged him and they whipped up the crowds to yell, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" They planted the cross in the ground and hung him there naked in utter shame and humiliation. They won. At least it seemed as though they had won. But only for a while was victory in their corner. Some of you might know the words to the song by Dallas Holm, sang a few decades back. I think it came out in the 70s. It says, "Go ahead, drive the nails in my hands. Laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see, 'cause I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground." Jesus was saying to the religious leaders that the stone that would be rejected, that he was that stone. Their way, however, was fated to fail because they were talking about the old temple, the Old Testament, the old way of worshiping. And Jesus was bringing something new in that would be established within the heart, within our bodies, within our minds, our soul, our spirits. But they didn't want to let go of what they had because it was what they knew and it was what they really wanted. And we know about cornerstones. I preached on it not too long ago. A cornerstone is that first stone that is laid. I remember working for a construction company. We would dig the foundation. They would lay that first brick. And then you would run your lines. Everything went from that. If that was off, then the whole house would be off. Everything. The house might slant. Be crooked, it would not be a firm house, it would not be a firm foundation. And so Jesus is that stone that was rejected. But you know what? We can have victory in Jesus. The weakling will become the victor, and so it is with everyone who follows Jesus Christ. The Christian faith is a positive faith. It is a hopeful faith. It is a faith of overcoming obstacles, a faith of believing that no mountain is too high, no valley is too low, nothing is too deep that it can't be climbed out of or climbed over. As Rocky Balboa said, in movie number 32, "You, me, or nobody is going to get hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you hit and get hit and keep moving forward." And ain't that the truth? And that's who we want to be. People who, by the grace of God, keep moving forward regardless of what life throws at us. But it's not just in our strength, and that's what we need to understand. It is by partnering with God that we get our strength, by depending upon Him. I want to close with this story. John Killigan tells a story about a pastor, Barry Howard, who's writing a book about people who are experiencing death. I know sometimes we don't like to talk about death. We want to talk about just all the positive things. But you know, our ultimate victory is when we go to be with Jesus. In the middle of the night, Barry's phone rang, and it was the man's wife had called from the hospital to say that the end was near, and would he please come pick her up and go to the hospital with her. They get to the hospital room, and the son and daughter are already there. And they're upset. And the man near death, and he's reaching up, he's trying to take the oxygen mask off. And he keeps swiping at it, and the son talks about it. He keeps doing it. And finally they think, well, maybe he wants to say something, and they move it off. And he looks at his wife, and in that gravelly voice from been having the tubes down his throat and everything, he looks at his wife and says, hold my hand. And they put the mask back on so he can get his breath, and she holds his hand. And she begins to sing, Victory in Jesus. And then the daughter begins to sing. And then the son begins to sing. And they sing that song, and then they sing, Great is thy faithfulness. And then they begin to sing, Amazing Grace. And you know those words. And they get to the verse, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. And at that very moment, that line that had been going up and down went flat. And the life passed, and he was on his way to his heavenly reward. Said it was an amazing experience when they entered the room. There had been pain and suffering and tension. But now when the man died, listening to those familiar old hymns, there was joy and composure and thanksgiving. Everything was good. Life, death, everything. It is good, all of us, no matter how charmed our lives have been, at some point in our life, know what it is to be a loser. Every one of us, I don't care who you are, at such times, it's good to know that Jesus had his moments of being a loser too, of being rejected, of being yelled at and screamed out by the crowds, crucify him, and facing his own death. So I just ask you this question, is Jesus the cornerstone of your life? Stay with Jesus, and your life can be victorious, regardless of the circumstances. May God bless you. Amen. Our communion hymn, 274, verses 1 and 2, Break Thou the Bread of Life.
Thank you.
Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you once more confessing our sins, knowing that we are not perfect, but that you are. And we stand not in our righteousness, but in your righteousness. And we thank you for that. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for accepting us. Thank you for giving us the gift of salvation. Help us grow in our faith, in our love, in our understanding of the Word. Help us live the victorious Christian life. Help this communion, this Lord's Supper, may it have real meaning and effect in our lives today. Bless us. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. I just remind you once more that everyone is welcome to receive communion. All we ask is that you are a believer. We ask that you hold the elements and that we will take them together in a sense of unity. On the day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the bread and broke it and blessed it and said, "This is my body, which has been given for you. As often as you eat it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. If you have seen me, then you have seen the Father." Let us, with a sense of unity, remember the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the same day that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the cup of the New Testament, pouring it, saying, "This is my blood, which has been shed for the remission of the sins of the many. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." Paul wrote in Romans, "If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, then you shall be saved. I am the first, and I am the last." Let us with reverence remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a women's association meeting after church. And for our last song, Victory in Jesus, let's cut it a little short today, if you don't mind. Let's just do the first verse. Kept you a little long today. Verse 1, 473, Victory in Jesus. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope that you'll go feeling that you really do have victory in Jesus. And as you go fighting this fight of faith and you have a down moment, that you'll look to the cross of Christ and you'll rise back up again. And you'll look to God and you look in His Word and you look to your church, you look to your friends, and you'll know that there's inspiration there. Go in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.